The following is a Bell to Bell B2B audio production. Bell to Bell is one of 50-plus trusted brands within the Investor Brand Network, IBN. As a multifaceted financial news and publishing company, IBN uses its network of more than 5,000 key distribution outlets, as well as other corporate communication tools, to introduce public and private companies to a wide audience of investors, consumers, journalists, and the general public. Our reputation for highly efficient communication strategies is based on the experience and relationships our team has in the space. It is Investor Brand Network's unwavering commitment to connect the investment community with companies that have great potential and a strong dedication to building shareholder value. The following interview may feature a client partner of Investor Brand Network. IBN may have been compensated for the production of this interview. Please be sure to read our entire disclaimer for full disclosure. Thank you. And here today is your host, Stuart Smith.
Welcome back, everybody, and thank you once again for joining us for our online business briefing, where we shine a spotlight on some of the smartest and freshest plays out there in the market today. And to that end, we are speaking to CanAssist International Corp. The company's traded on the OTCQB, and we are lucky enough to be joined by the CEO and founder of this company, traded under the ticker symbol CNSC, and that's Mark Palumbo. Mark, how are you today?
Stuart, I'm fine, thank you, and I appreciate the opportunity to be on with you.
It's great to be speaking with you as well. I know your shareholders will look forward to an update from you, but for the listeners who may not be familiar with who is CNSC, let's learn a little bit about the business model for CanAssist International Corp. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay. CanAssist International is a company born on research. We really saw a lot of stuff coming out in the industry early on where the application of CBD was very good and very promising. However, the reality of how things were being presented didn't translate in our mind that level of performance so that we could take it to the place where we could really, really help a lot of people with it. So that's what we drove after. Our initial attempts were at enhancing the performance of the CBD molecule, topically, ingestibly, however people were looking to take the product for whatever it was that they were taking it for. The ingredients that we worked with originally were not necessarily new. However, there wasn't a processing model that was sound enough in my mind and experience to take it to a well-supported commercial level. So that's really where the research focused on, making sure that we could make this product and we can make it in large volume. And then, of course, that once the concept was proven, which we did through third-party labs, we could show what properties it had to enhance what we felt were the three problems that the CBD was having. One was because of its oil solubility, its bioavailability was limited. And I'll go ahead and liken that to the skin penetration and the gut penetration of the product. And the other one, which we gained a lot of information from through university researchers, was stability. Oftentimes, we would test the product, and once it was 4 months or 5 months old out on the shelf, CBD was then undetectable. We ran an analysis to show that we could enhance that quite a bit, and we've got a shelf life now of just about 2 years, actually. So all of this was confirmed through third-party testing. Everything I say will only be supported by third-party testing. So the business model was to move on to becoming a public company. And that was a tricky decision at first. I have been an entrepreneur for 22 years and never tried to chase a model like this before. However, among the things that we were seeing out in the market was claims that were being made that weren't necessarily either supportable or, quite frankly, from the FDA point of view, and I do have a pharmaceutical background, legal. So we decided on the OTCQB or the public company model so that we would have absolute transparency, so that shareholders could go in, have a place that they could trade their stock and go through the filings on that website and see everything that the company's doing financially. In addition to the transparency reason for going with the public company, the other one was the fundraising opportunities. We'd be able to sell shares and raise funds that way. And we found that will be a more viable way to maintain a level of decision-making ownership of the company and keep it to its visions and its ultimately, it's dreams. So when the technology was developed, it was a product of Acceptor Labs. Now, Kinesis International is the parent company. Acceptor Labs is a technology company. So not only can we do CBD with Acceptor Labs, but many oil-soluble active ingredients also apply under this technology. So Acceptor Labs does CBD products, additional cannabinoids, does terpenes, essential oils, oil-soluble vitamins, all work in this format. And it works to extend the activity both in time and in performance for the products that are the, what I call the guest products to the vehicle that they're attached to, the water compatible vehicle. Acceptor Labs is a B2B business model. So we basically can generate a raw material. We can customize that raw material. We can sell it to other tech houses, for example. We can do it for terpene producers. We can do it for essential oil producers to enhance their product line. And of course, for the branded companies, we can do it in such a way that we can customize what they're looking for and help them make the claims that they seek to make. The other side of the business for us is B2C. And as such, we have a brand we call Acceptol. You know, once we were having the level of success we were with the performance of this product, we really wanted to get it to as many people as we could. So the philosophy behind that model was to make sure that it was accessible and that it was understandable, that we would continue to show what we were testing to help people understand the molecule, how it works, what to expect, which is an ongoing process for us, and also to provide a financially accessible product as well.
Well, very good. Let's learn a little bit about you as our guest today. Let's learn about your background and the team you've assembled around you.
Okay. I have a life science degree from university, and my background is primarily in pharmaceuticals and personal care. So I started my career with the pharmaceutical industry as an outdoor drug rep, calling on physicians, hospitals, and pharmacies. And then I went into the personal care industry because I really had a strong desire to develop my own path, I guess. And pharmaceuticals as a startup is a difficult place to go because of the expenses and the regulations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the personal care industry and cosmetics ended up being a good vehicle to be able to do that. Nice thing about the personal care industry is that you can get a lot of things into personal care products that may even eventually become more desirable active ingredients. As long as you're using them at low levels, you've got a market that will basically go out there and see what its relative acceptance is and its performance. I've been an entrepreneur now because I went in and I learned the personal care industry. I learned the customers. We had business at the big guys, Estee Lauder, at Elizabeth Arden, at Cheeseborough Ponds, or now Unilever, at Amway, at Neutrogena. So all these big label companies is where we sold the raw materials into. And then I learned about that market globally. So I traveled the world to different distribution houses to carry the products that we were selling at the time and to instruct and present to the different customers that they brought us to. After that, I felt like my education was relatively complete. I jumped out to do it myself. So I worked originally with a contractor who was a very prolific player in the personal care industry, from a retail formulation and from a development point of view. And we hooked up on making raw materials that came under my label company that we went on to sell for the personal care audience. The business was successful. I kept it for about 7 years. I sold it at that end point and went to work for the company that bought us briefly, and then went back to go to my entrepreneurial desires once again and started off on this campaign where I worked with a Asian medicine doctor, significantly successful one, actually. And we started developing products for his patients. We magnified the performance of those products by using the technology that I had developed for the CBD molecule. We have an extensive amount of experience in formulating. We have made consumer products for quite a few years now, and my strategic partner in Texas, who does the manufacturing, has been a formulator as well for over 30 years now, and she's quite experienced and quite effective at not only building very unique and desirable product, but also at making them in large quantities so that we can support the bulk. We can support the product deliveries pretty much on any market scale, Walmart, Target, any of those things. We have enough capacity to make the product for people like this, and we have more than one of them doing that kind of stuff. Now, we went on to building a team. As the product just launched, the consumer product, Acceptol, in September with the topical pain cream, and then following in December with the capsules and the drops. Now we're ready. Now we're at market. Now we got 90% of our stuff in gear. And so we hired a managing director in November as all of these things were coming to retail platforms. And she has she's the marketing director of sales and marketing for us. And she has experience in developing with branded companies concept to market. And she carries it from the beginning till the end, sitting on those original dream blue sky sort of meetings with these large retailers and bringing them up to having a manufactured product ready to sit on the shelf someplace to go. And she did it as well as an entrepreneur. So she's extensively experienced and had a very successful company in making it happen under her own steam or under her own vision. Beyond that, we got IBN partnership started in December to get out the word for us and to inform our investors of our presence, of our CanAssist company structure, and of the product line and the visions and growth opportunity or growth visions that we have for the near future.
Well, very good. 2020 was a year that provided a lot of unique, let's call them hurdles for companies with the global pandemic in place. How was your company able to fare through the years 2020, through the year 2020? What do you see as some of the milestones the company was able to achieve?
Well, you know, you're right. It was quite a difficult year. While I think CBD was considered to be a necessary thing, the manufacturers who were making the products weren't going to work. So we had laboratories that were ghost towns, and we really had a good, I'd say, 4 to 5 month period of having really no developmental activity, which is where our business strictly begins. So we didn't reach our targets that we had set in January for revenue. However, by the end of the year, we did have a 48% improvement in revenue numbers over the prior year. So in spite of all that went on, we were still able and we are on track now for making the numbers that we had initially projected making for 2020, comfortably within 2021. Now, as far as the accomplishments are concerned, you know, they're everything from the Acceptor Labs discovery of the enhancement technology to bring to the CBD molecule. We went further with our product than we had seen out in the market by gaining national drug codes for our topical pain creams. So we went through the process of developing those codes, which get registered with the FDA. It doesn't mean that the product is FDA approved, but what it does mean is that to allow us to say pain cream, that these NDC codes require that you use an ingredient that's approved for pain, an FDA approved ingredient, which we do. And that's how we were able to get that those NDC codes for the different topical products and how we continue to pursue and market opportunities based on having a registered product with regulated ingredients. So the consumer desirable formulations help with the ultimate use of the product, stability enhancement. We tested our product in our complex form, and the product is called Sibitinol. That uses the CBD in the carrier. CBD is the guest molecule. The carrier is cyclodextrin in this case, and we call that complex Sibitinol. So Sibitinol is the primary technology that was what the company was built on, and that provided the enhancement, the stability, and the performance that we're seeing in the formulas that we've made from that technology. For the stability enhancement, we did a third-party test with OTC protocols, over-the-counter drug protocols, and we had loose CBD in the formula, and we had our complex CBD in the formula. What the analysis showed us was that after 4 months on the shelf, the loose CBD was gone. It was undetectable. And the CBD in the complex remained at the same level, statistically, for the 3 months of the study. We have more recently taken a product that we made in October 2018 And this is a real-time test. So we took the product and we tested it again probably 2 months ago and found the product to still be in specification. So we feel like we made a very, very strong impact on the stability of the product. We also engaged for the personal care and the cosmetic industry, a large distributor called Omia, and they take our product technology on the B2B side out to the different personal care and cosmetic companies, everything including the sabidinol. We've done other cannabinoids with them, including CBG and CBN, broad spec, and custom products using essential oils, terpenes, etc. Another big accomplishment was gaining the ticker symbol. We have reason to believe that post the approval of the Farm Bill, that we're the first, if not the first, among the first on the OTCQB board. And we did it organically. We weren't a company that was already a public company that folded in the CBD business to it with a reverse merger or some other legal technique. We did it from the ground up. So it was quite a process to get there. It took 3 years. And I think that a big reason why the process was as difficult as it was because we had a molecule that was just legalized and a financial marketplace that was unfamiliar with how to handle it. I feel like we were very cooperative, and we have been with the FDA and the SEC to march this thing forward and expand both of our understandings to best ways to qualify a company to sit on the OTC and to satisfy the FDA that we are doing all of the things that the FDA would expect of a company who makes the kind of claims we do and the kind of products that consumers will use.
Well, listeners, a couple of websites that I want to give out to you right now. Go to investorbrandnetwork.com. You just heard Mark mention that, and he also mentioned the point that in July 2020, Canasys International became among the first U.S.-based CBD companies to have its securities listed for trading on a U.S. public capital market. That is in the profile at investorbrandnetwork.com. We talked a little bit about Acceptor, and let's go to that website for Acceptol. That is Xceptol. We are speaking with Mark Palumbo, CEO and founder of Canasys International. Ticker symbol again on the OTCQB is CN. SC. Well, Mark, wrapping up this interview, let's look out at 2021 now. What are some of your operational goals for the company?
We have established all of the infrastructure that we need to significantly grow our revenue and our supply categories. So revenue growth is our primary goal for this year. We are expanding direct sales efforts. Canasys is working on developing an affiliate program so we could have nationwide or North American distribution partners in the different desirable regions. We are working on our social media optimization. We are also working on strategic partnerships for vertical integration of the company so that we have more control from seed to sale of the raw materials that are being used and the product that ultimately gets developed and sent out to the shelf. So our first strategic partnership had to do with our manufacturer down in Texas, who I've already talked about. And now we are working on a relationship where we're getting very close to a final. There are extractors of CBD, of CBG, and of broad spectrum. And the program involves us selling to their markets, they're selling through our markets. We will develop a raw material line for them using our technology. They will expand their presence for their customers, and we will expand their customers through our sales efforts as well. We're also working on one that's a terpene extractor to expand their business in the same way. And then we're working on distribution expansion. I referred to Range Me earlier. That distribution expansion has to do with North America and global opportunities. And right now there are many of them that we are vetting and trying to get to the point of inking an agreement with.
Well, Mark, you're an industry vet, and I would like to ask you, as you look at the landscape here domestically in the United States and North America for CBD, let's get your insight into this market as it grows.
We're looking at the different policy changes that are happening, certainly on the FDA and the USDA level, which we just got new policy statements from on the 8th of January. And then, of course, with the new administration and maybe a national legalization is in the discussions regarding both recreational and medical. Honestly, this news has been gratifying for us, particularly around the FDA policy, because we've been doing this since the beginning and we've been well prepared. In fact, I feel pretty confident that we might actually even be a little ahead in many cases. We do have an FDA bulk drug substance program going on. And once we get approved in that substance, it allows compound pharmacies to use our product at their will. We are always monitoring state-by-state legalization of CBD. There are 47 medically approved states in the nation. 15 of those states are also recreational, plus District of Columbia, and the CBD market size and the way that it's growing. What I see is that these things will expand opportunities in particular applications. And the one I'm speaking of mostly at this point in time would be the food or the ingestible applications. And I guess the nutritional can go along with that. That has heretofore not been approved by the government yet. But I know that many conversations are happening around how to regulate that business world. Now, as we all know, there's many products out there right now. And that would speak loudly to the testing since they've been used for now a couple of years. And I think a pathway towards that regulatory model and the ability to sell into that really much larger category is all but confirmed, really. So we work on all of these different areas. We work on continuing our research and our own market expansion to cover things as they become legal and ready to go. And to add into that a little bit, the vision is also international as more and more countries approve the product for use. And we have already had exports for evaluation in Mexico, South Africa, Philippines, the UK, Canada. And we continue to support the evaluation of our product overseas with distribution networks in those countries.
Well, listeners, once again, we're speaking to Mark Palumbo, CEO and founder of Canacyst International Corp., ticker symbol again, CNSC. They are the parent company to Acceptor Labs, and you can learn more about the CBD products at acceptol.com. Mark, thanks so much for your time, your insight into the CBD industry, as well as into your exciting company. We look forward to great things from you and your company here in 2021 and well beyond. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
For Mark Palumbo, this is Stuart Smith saying thanks so much for listening.
This audio production is an original broadcast provided by Bell to Bell, B2B, and all rights are reserved. B2B is your primary destination for informative updates and exclusive interviews with executives operating in fast-moving industries. We make market hours more informative with deep dives into the stocks on our watch list, an in-depth examination of the trends guiding North American markets forward. Bell to Bell is another trusted brand under the Investor Brand Network, IBN. IBN may receive payments for corporate communication relations, as well as various press releases and social media solutions provided to its client partners. You should assume that officers and directors of IBN or financial analysts mentioned hold a position in and may intend to trade the securities for their own accounts. This interview is not an offer or recommendation to buy or sell securities. Information in this broadcast is presented solely for informative purposes and is not intended to be, or should it be construed as, investment advice. As in all investments, investment in the featured company carries an investment risk. Listeners should review the company thoroughly with a registered investment advisor or registered stockbroker. This audio interview by IBN is not purported to be a complete study of the featured company or other companies mentioned. Information used in statements of fact have been obtained from featured company and other sources, but not verified nor guaranteed by IBN as to completeness and accuracy. Such information is subject to change without notice. Please see our full disclaimers and disclosures at investorbrandnetwork.com.